our attention to prayer. Because as I said 2 weeks ago, prayer is the key to this whole thing. Prayer is the key that powers and activates the armor of God that we are commanded to wear. It's through prayer that we draw strength, we draw guidance, and we draw protection from our Heavenly Father. You see, just like John Patton, who relied on God for protection during his mission, we too must depend on God to equip us, to guide us, and to protect us in this ongoing battle. Friends, make no mistake about it, this spiritual warfare isn't just fought through bold public stands or through moral resistance. This spiritual battle has to be fought on our knees. That's how you fight this battle, on our knees. Friends, prayer is not a religious ritual. Prayer is not a last result. It's not a comfort mechanism when we all feel overwhelmed. I've said this many times, prayer is war. It's a battle. And if the church isn't praying, the church isn't fighting. So turn your Bibles to James chapter 5. And let's take a look at verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16. I'm reading from the Legacy Standard Bible. James chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Now look at this. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Let me repeat that. The effective prayer of a righteous man or a woman can accomplish much. Friends, that right there is what happens when God's people stop talking about God and start talking to God. But sadly, if we're being honest, prayer is often the most neglected practice in the life of the church. Would you agree with that? Yeah. And please, don't take my word for it. But I hope you'll take the word of George Barna or Tom Rainier, who are both well-respected church researchers. And their entire job is to track the latest trends in Christianity. And for instance, George Barna writes this about prayer. And I put all this stuff on the screen for you to follow along. Fewer Christians are praying regularly. In fact, only about 3 out of 10 Americans say they pray daily. An alarming statistic for those who profess Christ. But it's not just the personal prayer life of believers that's been impacted. It's the church as a whole. In many worship services today, prayer is often an afterthought, an opening or closing exercise, but not the central focus. It has become less of a vital spiritual discipline and more of a ritual. And then Tom Rainier, he follows that up by saying this, by writing this. He writes, there is a direct connection between prayerlessness and church decline. Churches that fail to pray, not just for themselves, but for their communities and the world, tend to plateau or fall into spiritual stagnation. Prayer is the lifeblood of the church. Without it, we can't expect growth, transformation, or revival. When we don't pray, we begin to rely on our own strength. We trust in our own programs, our strategies, and our efforts. But we neglect the most important ingredient for kingdom work, God's power. But when we make prayer a priority, something miraculous happens. God moves. Churches with robust prayer ministries tend to be healthier. Prayer brings about revival both in individuals and in congregations. It stirs hearts, convicts souls, and sets the stage for God to work in powerful ways. You know, in churches across the country, many faithful ministers have tried time and time again to establish regular church prayer gatherings. And often, they begin with great excitement and good intentions. But over time, the momentum fades. And what starts out with promise, well, it so slowly starts to dwindle until only a handful of people remain in those prayer gatherings. And in some cases, the pastor finds himself all alone praying. Friends, do you want to know why prayer meetings are so hard to keep going in churches? It's because Satan understands its power. That's why prayer meetings are so hard to establish for a long term. They start off on fire, but then they just kind of dwindle down. Satan knows how dangerous a praying church can be. So Satan and his demonic forces, they will do everything to distract you, to distract me. They'll do everything in their power to convince you that prayer is not that important. They'll put this in your mind. Hey, you already go to church once a week. You don't have to go one more time. Why would you want to go to church more than once? And that's what some people think. One time, hey, I did my duty. I went to church on Sunday. Don't ask me to come back for a prayer meeting. But friends, the truth is this. Prayer is the fuel that keeps everything alive and moving forward. Without it, I'm telling you, the church is just going through motions. The church is just relying on its own strength instead of relying on God's strength. Now, let me show you how this plays out in real life. Turn your Bibles to Daniel. It's in the Old Testament, Daniel chapter 10. And I'm going to do a lot of reading here, okay? I'm going to read the entire chapter, chapter 10, 21 verses. Daniel chapter 10, verses 1 through 21. I want to show you how this, there is a spiritual war going on in your prayer life that I think most Christians don't understand. And this really brings it home about that war. So I hope you wake up right now and pay attention, because this is important. There is a spiritual war going on for your prayer life, guys. There really is, and we see it right here. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a word was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belshazzar. And the word was true and one of great conflict, but he understood the word and had an understanding of what had appeared. In those days, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks. I did not eat any tasty food, nor did meat or wine enter my mouth, nor did I use any ointment at all until the entire 3 weeks were fulfilled. And on the 24th day of the first month, while I was by the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen, whose loins were girded with a belt of pure fine gold of Uphaz. His body also like beryl, his face had the appearance of lightning, his eyes were like flaming torches, his arms and feet, well, they were like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. Now I, Daniel, alone saw the vision that appeared, but the men who were with me did not see the vision that appeared. Nevertheless, a great terror fell on them, and they ran away to hide themselves. So I alone remained and saw this great vision that appeared, yet no might remained in me, for my outward splendor turned to a deathly pallor. And I retained no might, but I heard the sound of his words. And as soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Then behold, a hand touched me and set me shaking on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I am about to speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you gave your heart to understand this and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was standing against me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. Now I had been left there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the last days, for the vision pertains to the days yet future. Now when he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And behold, one in the likeness of the sons of men was touching my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke and said to him who was standing before me, O my Lord, as a result of the vision that appeared, pain have come upon me, and I have retained no might. Now how can such a servant of my Lord talk with such as my Lord? As for me, right now no might stands within me, nor does my only any breath remain within me. Then this one, with the appearance of a man, touched me again and strengthened me. And he said, O man of high esteem, do not be afraid. Peace be with you. Gather strength and be strong. Now as soon as he spoke to me, I received strength and said, may my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, do you know why I came to you? But I shall now return to the fight against the prince of Persia. So I am going forth, and behold, the prince of Greece is about to come. However, I will tell you what is inscribed in the writings of truth. Now there is no one who exerts strength with me against these forces except Michael, your prince. All right, what we have just read here is a very powerful illustration of a spiritual battle that is going on whenever God's people pray. Did you see it? Notice what's happening here. Daniel has been praying for 21 days straight. Fasting for 20. Anybody ever do a fast? He did a 21-day fast. 21 days this man fasted. He was seeking understanding. Yet there was no immediate answer from God. 21 days this man prayed. No answer. Kept praying though. Kept praying. But then all of a sudden an angel appears, and this angel reveals something very profound to us. And that is that God heard Daniel's prayer the moment he began, but there was a delay. A delay that was caused by spiritual warfare going on in the heavenly realms. The angel explains that he was held up by the prince of Persia, a demonic power that was resisting God's will. And this dark force fought against this angel for 21 days until who had to show up? Michael. Michael the archangel came to help that angel out. Now friends, that real, true story in Daniel serves as a very, very important reminder to us. And it's this: even when we don't see the immediate results to our prayers, there's often a spiritual battle going behind the scenes that we don't see. There's a spiritual battle going on for your prayers. Make no mistake about it. We see that right here. There is a battle going for it. And we may not always understand it, but God is still at work, even in ways that we don't see. You see, friends, prayer is not a little sweet add-on to your faith. Okay? Prayer's the battle plan. Prayer is how you access the power of God. And I got news for you. Satan doesn't want you to have that power. You know what terrifies Satan to death? A praying church. A praying church. And that's why he will do anything to distract you. He'll do anything to discourage you. He'll do anything to convince you that your prayers really don't matter. Because if he can get you to stop praying, guess what? He has disarmed you. And you're easy pickings. I mean, think about it. Why did Jesus often go off all alone to pray? We see that over and over, don't we? Jesus always got alone by himself and prayed. Why did Paul beg the churches? Didn't pray for me. Not for money. What was he begging for? Pray for us. Pray for us. Why did Ephesians chapter 6 follow the armor of God with this command? Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. It's because once you put on the armor of God, prayer is what engages it. That's how you engage the enemy. Prayer is how you stand firm. But the problem today is most Christians think prayer is passive. And you'll hear them say things like, well, I guess all we can do is pray. Anybody ever hear that one? Like, that's the consolation prize, right? Friends, I got news for you. Prayer is the first thing we do. It's the best thing we do. And I am here to tell you it's the strongest thing we do. And that, my friends, is because hell trembles when a child of God gets on their knees and prays with boldness. I mean, just look around. The reason there's so much spiritual drought in our churches today is because there is a prayerlessness in our pulpits and in our pews. Oh, we preach with passion, but we don't pray with tears. We organize outreach events, but we forget to ask God to go before us. Oh, we study the Bible, but we don't seek the Holy Spirit. And then we wonder why nothing is changing in our churches. But I'm telling you, when the people of God pray, oh man, things begin to shake. For instance, take the Hebrides Revival. What a powerful example of how prayer can ignite a spiritual awakening. Now, the Hebrides are a group of islands off the west coast of Scotland. And they are known for its rugged beauty and, I guess, a history, just a wonderful spiritual history. But in the late 1940s, the islands were spiritually dry. Empty churches and just indifferent hearts. Well, here's what's so amazing about this revival. And I'm talking to the older saints today, okay? The older saints today. Two elderly sisters who lived together, Peggy and Christine Smith. One day they were just burdened to pray. Now, despite their frailty, Peggy was blind and Christine was crippled. Those two older ladies prayed nightly for God to send a revival. Every night for months, they prayed for a revival. One night, Peggy had a vision of a church filled with people and the presence of God so real that it seemed to overflow. And this became a sign to her that God was about to move. Well, sure enough, in October of 1949, the Holy Spirit began to stir in the hearts of the young people on the islands. And a small group of young men who had one time and were just indifferent to the faith, didn't care about it, they started to pray. And God's presence became so overwhelming that many of these young men fell to their knees in repentance. And then here's the key. At the invitation of local leaders, they invited a guy by the name of Duncan Campbell, a young evangelist to come and preach. Notice, they did not call for Bethel to come in and lead music, Hillsong to come and lead music. Let's have a big emotional thing. No, they called for an evangelist. They called for a preacher. How many of you heard of Duncan Campbell? Diane. All right. So they called for Duncan Campbell. That is something that they did, which was the right thing to do. And this man preached the word of God. It didn't center around music. It didn't center around emotions. It centered around the word of God. And the Holy Spirit moved in a big, powerful way. People turned to Christ in mass, and revival spread across this island. All of a sudden, bars were closing. People were starting to gather in prayer meetings, and entire communities were transformed. And that revival brought about lasting change, especially among the young people. Many of those who at one time had been very distant from God, they were now radically converted. Now, though the revival didn't spread worldwide, okay, the impact was still profound and long-lasting in that area. What I'm trying to get you to understand, and this is for my senior saints here today, for those of you who don't think you can't do anything, okay, I can't serve anymore. I just don't have the energy to cook anymore. I don't feel like God's using me to do anything in the church because I can't do anything anymore like I used to. Oh, this is to encourage you. Because you can do what? You can pray. You can pray. You may not be able to get on your knees, but you can still pray. You can pray like these two wonderful elderly women. And that's what it shows us. It shows us that God responds to the prayers of the faithful, no matter their age or the circumstance. But you know, friends, this isn't just about national revivals. Prayer works right where you're at. Works in your home. Works in your family. It works in the relationships that are closest to you. You know, I have heard of families on the brink of collapse. Marriages teetering on the edge of divorce. Children lost to addiction. And then a praying mom or a praying dad, desperate and determined, went to war in prayer. And God answered, God restored, and God rescued. You see, friends, we don't need more programs. We need more prayer warriors. We don't need more praise and worship. We need more intercession. Because prayer is the one weapon that hell cannot stand against. But let's be very clear. Prayer is not about bending God to our wills. You know, try to get God to do what we want God to do. It's about aligning ourselves to His will. Friends, I got news for you. You can pray until you're blue in the face, and if you're not in God's will, it's not going to be answered. You have to be in God's will. Is revival in God's will? Absolutely. Absolutely. It's about aligning ourselves with His will. It's about pulling down strongholds, not just in your life, but in your home, in your church, and in your communities. Hey, when Daniel prayed, things changed in the spiritual realm. Did you read that? You don't think that can still happen today? Yes, it can. Yes, it can. It can happen today. Your prayers can actively hold back the forces of darkness. You have that power through the Holy Spirit in prayer. Even if you can't see it. And I don't know, if I may be so bold, Maybe that's why you're here today and you're under attack. Maybe that's why some of you are under attack right now. Maybe that's why your family is in turmoil. Maybe that's why your spiritual life just feels dry. It's not because you're weak. It's because the enemy knows that if you ever start really praying, he's in trouble. So what's he going to do? He's going to distract you. He's going to distract you. You don't think this Charlie Kirk assassination has distracted the church? Wow, it has. It has distracted us. And that was the plan. That was the plan. He's going to discourage you. He's going to convince you that, guys, it's just not worth it. But friends, prayer is worth it. Because here's, I think, something a lot of Christians don't realize. Every prayer that you have ever prayed in faith is still echoing in heaven. It is still echoing in heaven. So please, don't ever stop praying. Friends, don't you think it's time to pick up that weapon again? Don't you think it's time to really start fighting for your family? To fight for your church? To fight for that next generation? Well, we don't do it by shouting louder or trying harder. We do it by praying with power. Because again, this war is real. But friends, I'm trying to encourage you today. So is the power of prayer. And if we'll just pray, truly pray, man, we will see strongholds fall. We will see captives set free. We will see prodigal children come home. Oh, man, churches will be revived, and we will see souls saved. Friends, we are not going to win this war with clever sermons or better technology or better marketing plans. This war can only be won on our knees. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you today not as spectators, but as soldiers. Father, I think we all need to confess that at one time or another, we have all neglected the weapon of prayer. One time or another, we have all trusted in our own strength instead of seeking your face. So forgive us. Wake us up. Father, teach us to fight on our knees. Stir in us a hunger to pray. Give us the faith to believe that you are still the God who hears and answers today. Ah, Father, raise up prayer warriors in the church. People who will intercede, who will cry, who will not let go until you move. Father, push back the darkness in our homes, in our nation, and in this generation. Father, let your kingdom come and let your will be done. And it is in Christ's name that we do pray. Amen.
Amen.